Okay, guys, I got this little map of Corinth, and I'm going to explain to you what's going on there. But when I'm studying something, I like to visually see what I'm talking about, especially in maps. I like to know where we're talking about, what's going on. So that's why I gave you the map, and it specifies several things that we're going to be going over this evening. Okay. I said I didn't quite finish, and I felt like I didn't. So remember the two words that we were focused on was doctrine, and not doctrine. Religion, doctrine. So what it all boils down to, what it all comes down to, is that a man-made doctrine is going to lead into religion, okay? If we're following a man-made doctrine, and doctrine again is just a teaching that anybody, any organization, any person, anybody's teaching, or what they're teaching, that's their doctrine. That's a doctrine. That's why we have God's doctrine and we have man's doctrine. Anybody who's teaching man's doctrine is always going to lead us into religion, okay? And what's the problem with that? The problem with religion is that religion is literally a veil that is over God's word, and it will not let you see God's word clearly. You cannot see it clearly. So religion is going to divide and going to exclude, because religion says either you do what I say or what my rules say, or you're out. All religion does that. It's going to exclude, and it's going to demand things, and it's going to keep you from God's truth, okay? It's a veil. It's literally a veil over your face that you can kind of make shapes out, and you can kind of see what's going on, but you can't see it clearly. That's the problem with man's doctrine that leads into religion, okay? And religion, when it excludes in a horrible way. God's word will never exclude anybody. It does not divide, and religion excludes and divides, okay? But God's word never does that. God's word says, I loved you when you were a sinner, and come to me as a sinner, and I will make you free. That's what God's word says. Our God is a loving God who wants us as we are. He wants to embrace us. He wants to hug us. He wants to give all his love to us. It's just our accepting it. So that's what religion does, and that's where we were focusing in on, and I want to kind of finish that up. So the best, I would say, my favorite example of a church going into religion would be a Corinthian, the church of Corinth, okay? So 1 Corinthians is probably the best example of a church fighting against religion or falling into religion and becoming a problem and becoming a divisive or a church, a divided church, in other words. Okay, so we're going to be in First Corinthians. Okay, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity again to come before your congregation and just share the word, Lord. And I pray, Father, for anybody who is listening, that you may give them discernment and understanding of your word, and that you may just use me, Lord, and that you give them the truth of your word, and they may use it in their lives, and they may just let it flow from their lips, that your word may just flow from their mouths, Father, that they may be a light amongst their peers, amongst their family, amongst their loved ones, amongst the people that they know, Father, that we may just be a church that acts out your word, that your word just flows from our bodies. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Okay, guys, a little of explanation of what's going on in the church of Corinth. I gave you that little map. Okay, if you look at it where it says ancient Corinth, and you look at the map, it's a place. If I remember the word correctly, isthmus. Is that? I think I said it right. Isthmus. It was a body of land that had like a waste. Like a waste, not waste throwing away, but like a waste on it, to where there was two ports, two main ports was on it, okay, which made Corinth a very, very important city, okay? So if I remember correctly, there was 6 miles from ocean to ocean. And they had this little, if you look at your map, they had that, it's something called Doulkos. Okay, before that canal was actually built, it was a stone a street, or they made a stone street there. They not paved. It was a stone street where the smaller boats they could put on carts and go from one. So sort of like the Panama Canal. Okay, but this was like a little road. They would put small boats on there and they could cross. So it was two ports, two very important ports that the city of Corinth had. So you had all kinds of diversity there. You had all kinds of different cultures in that one city. Okay, it was a Greek city, and you had all kinds of different cultures there. The bigger boats they would offload their cargo there, and they would wheel it across the ones that they couldn't put on a cart and cross. So this port at Corinth, it was a strategic placement of a church for Paul. Okay, he was there about a year and a half, and he strategically put that. That was a strategic point for, because there was so many, like again, there was so many different cultures there and so many different people. Corinth was kind of, I guess you could say, it was kind of like New York. Okay, different cultures. You had for all how you say it? You had poor people, you had rich people, you had very intelligent people. You had different people there. It was considered like New York. There was the high end people were there. There were low end people, but the high end people ran everything. It was going the smarter people, the rich people ran things in Corinth. It was a city that was full of sin. It was a sinful city, so that made it a very a strategic place to place a church. And Paul did that there. He was there for a year and a half. He was when he placed that church there, it grew pretty quick. The problem with it being in such a traveled place, again, it was a two port city. If a one port city is big and is very important, this place had two ports in it. So it had two ports on each side. On to the north, you had Spain and Italy. To the south, you had Egypt, you had Asia Minor, you had all these different commerce coming through there, through Corinth, and that's why I gave you that little map so you know what's going on there. I like to know where I'm at and what's going on and why Paul speaks of this city the way he does. Being that it was so diverse in culture, and the Greek culture was the main focus there. The Greek culture again is a culture that they liked philosophy, they liked reading, they liked debating stuff, and the more knowledge they had, the better. Anything new they liked to hear. It was a philosopher city. Okay, the worship there, they had 12 different at that time in Corinth. They had at least 12 temples. Okay, and they were all pagan, but they were 12 temples. The worst was probably for Aphrodite, which they say at the time there was 1,000 working prostitutes in that temple, okay? So the city of Corinth was known as probably Sin City, okay? They had sayings that living like a Corinthian, which meant either you were a sinful drunk that was just living, there was a lot of partying going on, and there was a lot of prostitution going on. So either you were sexually, you were promiscuous, or you were a drunk, and it was living like a Corinthian. They had the Greeks actually gave them a name, a word that to describe people that were either very sexually active or addicted to alcohol. And literally was living like it was. They called it the Corinthian eyes or something like that. But it was a Greek word. Okay. So now that we know a little bit about what Corinth is and what was going on and how the church there why it had so many problems. Again, Corinth is probably my favorite go-to when you want to learn, or when you're talking about a church that's fallen into religion or to legalism. Okay, so Corinth is the perfect example of that. Okay, so I'm going to be reading 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1 through chapter 3. Some parts I'm going to go fast because that's three chapters, but and other parts I'm gonna stop and give a little bit more of an explanation. My wife says I read too fast, and I probably get you guys dizzy while I'm reading, but it's three chapters. I'm going to try to finish this up tonight. Okay, guys? So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, okay? And again, Paul's addressing the problems that have gone on since he left there, because he was there for about a year and a half. Okay, he established a church there. He left somebody there, and there's problems, and there's big problems going on in this city. It's not an excuse, but the city that they're in, again, it's a sinful city. It's a bad place. But the church is there, and the church is growing. Okay, so chapter 1 says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. They were together there. Okay, he's in Ephesus right now. So he's writing this letter from Ephesus. Okay, verse 2 says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. Notice he says to the church of God, which is at Corinth. He doesn't say to the Corinthian church, because again, that kind of leads you into something that he's going to battle right now. They're getting uppity because of their religion, their church. You understand what's going on? So he's setting them straight. He's saying it's not your church; it's God's church that's in Corinth. Okay, so that's point number one. Then he says, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Okay, if you look at what he's saying, you guys, he's telling them in a subtle way, you're not the only church, okay? Your way is not the only way. It's all those who call on the name of Jesus Christ everywhere is what he's telling them, okay? Okay, grace to you and peace from God, verse 3, our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for all the grace of God which is given to you by Christ, by Christ Jesus, okay? Given to you by Christ. He's making sure that Christ is the focus of this, okay? So then he says, verse 5 says, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, okay? So that you come short of no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to hold on there. Okay, what was happening in the church of Corinthian and the church of Corinth is that they had all the gifts, and they were using, actually the one that they were using most and that they were going crazy with was with the gift of tongues, and they were using them wrong. They were using it wrong. And later, I'm not going to go too much into that, but later in chapter 12, Paul addresses that specifically, okay? Another thing that they were doing is that they were using baptism. So they were focused on baptism, and they were focused on speaking in tongues. Now, I'm reminding you that he's focusing on Jesus Christ, okay? What was happening is their faith was no longer in Christ. Their faith was in their baptism. And their faith was in speaking in tongues. Okay? They were pushing Christ aside and forgetting what Christ had done on the cross. Okay? So what he's saying is, he's using words and he's being very crafty. It says, in all utterance, because he knew they were speaking in tongues in a very bad way, not in a biblical way. Okay? And he's using, and the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, letting them know that Christ, that what Christ did on the cross, that's what's saving you. That's the truth. That's what the real salvation is in our lives. Okay? So he says, so that you come short of no gift, recognizing that they had all the gifts and saying, Christ gave you those gifts. Okay? They come from Christ. Okay? So he's letting them know that they're that right there. He's already let them know that something's wrong in what they're doing. Okay? So verse 8 says, who will also confirm you, listen, okay, well, I'm going to start, Sam, so that you come short of no gift, verse 7, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Christ is going to save you, is what he's saying, okay? Verse 9 says, God is faithful by whom we are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, okay? Now, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. What does that remind you of? What does that remind you of? That you all speak the same thing, that you all are that there be no division among you and in one mind and one judgment. What does that remind you of? The day of Pentecost, where the 120... they were all one mind, one, and the Holy Spirit descended upon them, and that's when he gave them the gift of tongues. But the Bible says they spoke in other tongues. Okay, what they were doing when he said utterance, and I come from a Pentecostal background, and the speaking of tongues, there's no speaking involved. Okay, literally it's. Literally, that's what's going on. And everybody's screaming and their heads are falling off. And believe me, guys, that's what's going on. That's not speaking. When the gift of tongues was given to the 120, they were speaking because people understood what was going on. And again, I'm going to leave it at that. Paul addresses that later on. But that's one of the main problems. They were using the gift of tongues and their baptism, and they were pushing Christ aside. And they were saying, I'm better because I was baptized in this way or with this man, and I'm better because I speak in tongues and you don't. They were excluding and they were dividing, that there be no division, Paul is telling them. Okay? Because they were divided. They were a divided church. It had become a religion. Okay? Okay. Verse 11, for it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Okay? There's a movement, there's a movement, the religion where I came from, the Pentecostal, it's still a Pentecostal doctrine that says, they say that if you're not baptized, in other words, when they grab you and they baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, and they don't say, you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that you are not saved. Okay? Paul addresses that here, which when I read this blew my mind. How did he know this was going to happen? It's God. It's God's word. Okay? And Paul is addressing that here. Okay, and what he goes on to say is crazy. It's crazy. It's awesome. It says, okay, is Christ divided? Verse 13, was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I baptized you in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. Okay? Now, here comes the important part. He says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Okay? Most religions tell you that in order for you to be saved, you have to be baptized in water. Most religions, okay? And you have to be baptized their way and by a certain person, okay? If we go back, and who baptized Jesus Christ? John. What did he look like? No, he was a nobody. He was somebody special in the Word of God, but I mean, to the people, he was some crazy guy dressed in a and skins with a weird belt that ate grasshoppers and lived in a cave and ate honey. That's who baptized Jesus Christ. Okay. When I left Catholicism and went to this Pentecostal doctrine, it had to be a minister, an ordained minister, and he had to have a tie on, and I had to wear a white robe, and it was beautiful. It was awesome. I mean, right? Now you're saved, brother. Okay, cool, I'm saved. So a couple days later, have you spoken in tongues? You're not saved until you speak in tongues. Oh, and now you got to dress differently. So there was all these rules because of religion. Okay? Because of religion, there was all these rules and all these obstacles that I had to go over. As soon as I went over one, there was another one. It was no longer Jesus Christ that saved me. It was now baptism in the right way by the right person in the right name. Then it was in the speaking of tongues. Then it was in the way I dressed. Then it was in the list went on. So that's what religion does. Okay? They put all kinds of obstacles, and Paul's addressing that. He's saying, I didn't come, Jesus Christ didn't send me to baptize anyone, and I'm glad that I didn't baptize, I baptized a few of you, but I'm glad I didn't baptize any more. Am I putting baptism down? No. I believe that every Christian, as soon as they know, and as soon as they understand, and as soon as they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I agree with them being baptized. I see no wrong in that. The Bible teaches that. But when they understand it, not to become part of a group or not to become a member of a club, but because they're doing it in front of their brothers and sisters and they are professing, I am now part of not a group or not, I'm part of a Christian fellowship. I'm part of Christ. I am with him now. Okay? Not to be saved, because the actual baptism is not going to save you. And that's what Paul's trying to tell him. Okay? Okay. So, okay, and he says, verse 17 says, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. The cross of Christ, why? Because it's on the cross that he beat everything. He beat death. That's where our salvation comes from. It was his work, not ours, that brings salvation. He's the one that died. He's the one that suffered. Not us. He did all that so we wouldn't have to suffer, so we wouldn't have to die, so we can live forever. See? It was his work on the cross that did it, not because it wasn't our baptism, it wasn't who baptized us, it wasn't our speaking in tongues, it wasn't that we were good persons, because we're not. He is. It was him. Okay? Okay. Verse 18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. What's the message of the cross? His word. The power of God is his word. Okay? 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? If we look at the things our president says, I mean, that's pretty much... Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I should have said it over here. Huh? I'm sorry. Okay. 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 Verse 21. For since the wisdom of God, the world through the wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and the Greek seeks after wisdom. What does that remind you of? Listen to the words. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Okay, that's religion, and that's science. Okay, because religion asks for signs. Oh, I want to see you baptized. I want to see you speak in tongues. I want to see you dress different. I want to see. Okay? And for the Greeks, that's the science. That's evolution. They're wise. They want all kinds of different they want proof, scientific proof of what's going on. Okay? So here the Jews represent religion and the Greeks represent science. That's Religion and science is what's holding God's church back right now. Religion and science. Okay? But we preach Christ crucified, verse 23, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. Okay. Verse 26. This is important too. This is, for you see your calling, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Okay? He's telling them, consider yourselves. And I do consider myself. He didn't call the wise and he didn't call the strong. He called the humble, or whoever humbled themselves. He could be strong and he could be wise. Okay? But whoever humbles themselves, he will give them their message. They will understand his word. Whoever humbles himself to him, not to man's religion, not to man's doctrine, but to him and to his word. Okay? There's a big difference. I know, because I used to fall, and I thought that I had to please the pastor and do whatever he said. I was like the co-pastor back where in my old church. I was like his right hand, and everything I did was to please him. I wasn't pleasing God. I was trying to keep him happy, which made him very happy, and made me very tired. But that's what it's saying. I mean, he didn't choose wise men. He didn't choose the upbeat people. He chose people. He chooses people. And if he wanted some dumb dude, he really picked one with me. Is what I'm getting at. Okay, so that completely applies to me. Okay, so verse 28, it says, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring, which are not to bring to nothing, the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Okay. All the achievements and everything that happens in our life is because God loves us in his grace. Okay. If we are saved, it's because of his grace. Every accomplishment, everything that's ever happened in my life, I believe it's because he allowed it and because he's been there for me. I don't believe, I used to be a man that I liked taking care of problems, and I did it my way. I did everything the way I thought I was the most responsible drunk in the world, because I made sure that my wife had a home, car, and food in the refrigerator, and she had money, and I was the most responsible drunk in the world. I did things my way. I was a good man. Okay? That's not true. That's not true at all. I was the worst father. I was the worst husband. I was the worst brother. I was the worst friend. I was the worst everything, because I was not humble. I never humbled myself to God, and never knowing that everything I had was because he allowed it. Okay? So that's basically what it's saying there, is what he's everything we have and everything we accomplish and everything that we're going to have, we owe to him. Okay? He allows it. Okay? So that no flesh should glory in his presence. Okay, and again, that's the other thing that the religion and what was happening in Corinth, that they were thinking they were great because of the way they were baptized, or who baptized them, or the speaking of tongues, or because of the gifts that they had. See, they were thinking that was in other words, they were saying, God loves me so much that I speak in tongues. God loves me so much that Pastor Rob baptized me. God loved me so much that he made me part of this church. That's what they were doing. They were thinking that it was going away from God. They were thinking that they were such good people that God loved them so much. He gave them all these gifts and he gave them the best baptisms and a good church in a big city with a lot of money. And that's what was going on. Okay. Okay. Verse 30 says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Okay? All those things. Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And you notice he's not telling them that they're not. He's telling them, you are righteous and you are sanctified and you're redeemed, but all that happens because of Christ. Okay? He's not saying you're not that anymore. He's telling them that you are. He's saying, you are righteous, you are sanctified, and you are redeemed, but you are all those things because of Christ. Okay? That it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Thank God for everything. Okay? Thank God I even thank God for letting me be the dumb person that I was before, because that's how I realized that I wasn't all that, because I realized how dumb I really was. So I even thank God for that. Okay? Okay. Now we're going to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because it flows into it. It flows into it, okay? And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come to you with the excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Okay, another thing that was going on in the city of Corinth, they loved, like again, they loved philosophy. They loved hearing these eloquent speeches. Oh, they spoke beautifully. I mean, they had words that I never heard before. Or we never heard before. They spoke very educated, and they were like, oh, man, you listen to them, they're, oh, these guys know what they're talking about, you know? And that's what was going on. And Paul's telling them, I didn't come like that. I didn't come with eloquent words. I didn't come with a wisdom of knowledge. I didn't come like that. That's not how I came to you, okay? He says, for I determined, verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except, listen to what he says, I did not know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That right there, if you guys want to underline that, that is important. I did not come to you except knowing Jesus Christ and him crucified, because that's what saves you. Accepting that and knowing that, and knowing that he did everything and you did nothing. That he was crucified because of you, because of me, because of us. He was crucified. And that was his message to the church in Corinth. That's what he taught on. Okay? Verse 3. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Okay? Meaning, he didn't get up here he didn't stand behind a pulpit with the robes of the priests and the Pharisees. He wasn't like that. He was humble when he spoke to them, when he taught them. He taught them in humility. Okay? Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul, he would heal people. God used Paul to heal people. The wisdom of his words and the understanding he gave the church of God's word, okay? Because again, remember last week I was telling you how the priest would turn their back to the congregation and speak in Latin, okay? That's kind of what was going on, and that's what happens in religion, guys. One of the saddest things that happened to me is when I started struggling with the religion that I was in, I went to the pastor. And I'm not the type of person to be quiet about things. If I saw something that was wrong with God's word, that the way they were doing it, I would tell him. I wouldn't stay quiet about it. And I said, Pastor, the church is ill. They need healing. There's something wrong. Because all the divisions that we're talking about here are there because that church still exists, and they are there. And I said, can I give a teaching? Can I give a sermon? But in a teaching, like what I'm doing here, can I explain a whole chapter? Because over there, they take a verse from here, a verse from there, one or two or three verses from different books, and they would make it. They would make a sermon out of it, not a teaching, because then it was, you would go out of it and you wouldn't understand what was going on. And the worst things that came out of his mouth was, Oscar, the church is too ignorant to receive a theological teaching. And the worst part, and what I hate myself more is he said, you went to college and you understand theology, but these guys, they're too ignorant. And I said to myself, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Then God grabbed me and smacked me and said, if the church is ignorant, you're more ignorant because you're supposed to teach them. It's your job. If you went and you studied, it's because that was for you to teach them. And that's one of the worst memories that I have. Falling into that and accepting that. In other words, I put a tie on and said, yeah, you're right. You're right, Pastor. Yeah, I am much smarter. You understand? I fell into that. And that's one of the worst memories and one of the things I hate the most. That I didn't stick to my guns and I didn't keep fighting for that. And I hate that happened. But that's what happened. They would speak they speak in a way where the congregation really doesn't understand God's word. And it's about understanding God's word, not with words of people that have doctrines and all, with words that people can understand, where they can understand what's going on. That's how Paul came to that church. Okay? Okay. Where was I? Verse 5. Okay. Verse 4, it says, and my speech and my preaching were not with the persuasive words of human wisdom, but the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Okay? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, not in the doctrines of men, not in the religions of men, but in the power of God. The power of God is in his word. Okay? When the Bible says that the Holy Spirit gives us the understanding and the interpretation of God's word, that's where the power comes from, is understanding what God is saying. Okay? And what he's saying, the people that choose not to believe, they're never going to understand. To the Jew and to the Greek, stumbling blocks, craziness. Okay? To religion and to science, stumbling block. It doesn't make any sense. You can't prove it. I can't see it. Okay? However, verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Okay, let me make one thing clear. God is not hiding or not making a puzzle of his word. Again, what he's saying here is it's hidden from them because they choose not to believe. It's not that God made it hard. It's not that God made it impossible to understand. It's that we have to choose to believe and choose to accept that he is our Savior. Okay? We have to choose that, because unless we do that, then it's all about us and we're never going to understand God's word. Okay? But when we choose to accept and say, you know what, Lord, you are wisdom. You are truth. And everything you say and everything is that's in the, I believe because you said it. And because I love you, and because you saved me, and because everything I got is from you, then that's when the Holy Spirit can work in us, and we understand God's word. Okay, it has nothing to do with going to college or having doctrines, it has nothing to do with that, because the Jews had it, and the Greeks did too, and it didn't help them. So it has nothing to do with how many, not that I'm saying that don't tell your kids not to go to college. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? Kids can go to college and go to school. That's fine. I'm saying with the gospel, with God's wisdom, with God's word. Okay? They're never going to understand it unless they can first love God and accept his salvation. Accept it. Okay? His salvation, not our salvation. Okay? Verse 8, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, the Romans and the Jews, when they, and even the people, just the common people, they knew the scriptures, they knew Moses' law, and they still crucified him. They chose not to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, even though he proved that he was, okay? And that's in all the Gospels, and that's a different teaching, but he proved that he was the Messiah, okay? But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. For those who love him, okay? Okay. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Again, the Holy Spirit is given when we repent and we say, you know what, I'm nothing without you. Okay, that's true repentance. True repentance. I mean, the Holy Spirit will go into your life and it'll give you the wisdom of God's word, and God will change your life. Nothing I have done has ever changed my life. Nothing. God has changed it. Okay, God alone. He changes lives. Nobody else. No, his word changes lives. Okay, so when repentance happens, that's when the Holy Spirit can come in and say, okay, you have truly repented. That's now you're going to understand everything God has to say to you. Okay, He's gonna, and that doesn't mean you're gonna learn the Bible, the whole thing. That it's every time. In other words, every time you come and you start reading and you start looking for God's truth, it's gonna be revealed to you. Because you understand that it's God's truth, that it's his truth, that it's his, that he's the one that's going to change your life, not you or not anybody else. Okay? Okay. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Again, he's just telling you, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, because it's a promise from Jesus Christ himself, as when I leave, I'm going to send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And he's going to lead you to Christ. He's going to lead you to all truth. Okay? So that's, again, that's just another promise. He's repeating the promise that Jesus Christ gave, okay? Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Again, it's not that God's hiding them. God wants everybody to know him, but we have to humble ourselves and we have to really choose Christ. We have to accept him. Or else we're never going to know what's going on. Okay? But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Okay? He who is spiritual judges all things. Okay? Guys, I know that this has happened to you. I mean, you're going to do something, and that something, don't do that. Okay? That's the Holy Spirit keeping you from doing something. You're not, sometimes we fail and we choose the wrong thing, but that's the Holy Spirit discerning things in you. He's telling you, don't do that. I mean, that's happened to all of us. That we've all had that, you know, don't do that. Okay, we do it anyway. But the loving Father that we have, the God that we have, He's there to pick us up and pat us on and just keep on walking. He forgives us. That's where repentance comes in. That's where His forgiveness is. Man, He is the God of chances. I mean, they're countless. I mean, in everybody's life, His chances and His forgiveness. How do you pay that back? How do you repay His grace, His forgiveness? How do you repay that? How do you, every time you do something wrong and He forgives you, and even the things you keep repeating that He keeps forgiving you for, how do you repay that? Just the only thing we can do is love Him and believe Him and accept Him. That's all we can do. Okay, verse 16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Okay? Nobody can instruct them, but we know what's going on. We can understand what's going on because we love Him, because we have accepted Him. Okay? Okay. Chapter 3, verse 1. Again, it flows, guys. It kind of flows. So it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." Okay. Right now, Paul is kind of smacking him on the head and says, "Listen, okay, listen, you guys. I'm not speaking to you. I can't speak to you very spiritual because you're not being spiritual. You're being carnal." Okay, your religiousness and your legalism has pulled you away from God's truth, and you're judging people on your own judgment, because that's what was going on too. They were having hearings and stuff amongst the brethren, amongst the church. Okay, that was going on also. So you guys aren't being spiritual. Okay, you guys are not. Now remember, up above that he said, you guys are saved. You guys are redeemed and you guys are sanctified. You guys are righteous, but you're not being spiritual. Okay, you're not practicing all that God has given you. You guys are believing in yourselves and the things that you have done, rituals and man-made laws and man's opinion. You guys are going after that instead of sticking to God's truth, and that's what he's telling them. Okay, and that's verse 1. Verse 2 says, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able to receive it." Okay, let me go on. It's verse 3 says, "For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behave like mere men?" Okay, let me read that again. "For are you still carnal? For where there are envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Okay, religion causes envy, causes strife, causes division, causes you to behave carnally. And I use where I was because that's probably the best example I have to use. Although, if you go to Seventh-day Adventist, their faith is on the seventh. They worship on Saturday. They believe that their salvation comes because they worship on Saturday. Where's Jesus Christ in that? Okay, they're leaving Jesus Christ to one side. Different religions have different things that they set on. The religion I was, it was set on the baptism and the speaking of tongues and the way you dressed and all this, and then division and strife and envy among you. You would speak to somebody and they would say, "Oh, you know," you'd be at church and you'd be sitting next to somebody and say, "Oh, you see that sister over there? I saw her wearing pants last Saturday." Wow. You know, division and strife. "Oh, that brother over there, yeah. I saw him. He had a, you know, he didn't shave. They let his beard grow until Saturday night, and then he shaved. He's shaved now, but he was sporting a beard. You know, that's not, what does a beard have to do with salvation? I never could understand that one. But things like that, that's what was going on. They were thinking, Pastor Rob say, I'm more holier than thou? Each one of them, that's what they thought. They were holier because they did a certain thing, or they were baptized a certain way, or they were baptized by a certain someone. That's what was going on. That was religion, and that was dividing, and that was excluding people. God's word never excludes anybody. Even the people that don't want to come to Christ, he doesn't exclude them. They choose to be excluded. He doesn't exclude them. He tells them the truth. God's word tells the truth and says, I want you all. I want everybody. But they choose to exclude themselves. Okay? God's word doesn't exclude anybody and doesn't reject anybody. He says, come to me as you are. Okay? That's what he says. Okay? Verse 4. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? He's telling him again, where did you guys get this from? You know, I didn't teach you that. I taught you Christ crucified. That's what I taught you. That's Christ is the salvation, not your baptism, not who baptized you. Okay? Okay. Who then is Paul, and who then is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed? Okay? In other words, God just used us to preach his message, and you believed in him as the Lord gave each one. He used each one of the different ministers and the different preachers to preach his word so they would believe in Jesus, not in the preacher. Okay? Who then, verse 6, I'm sorry. I planted, this is very interesting the way he sets this, guys. He says, verse 6, he says, I planted Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Okay? I planted Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were saved, and God added to the church. God added to the church, and God always adds to the church. Okay? It isn't the minister, it isn't the pastor. Those are just vessels. Those are just tools that God uses to profess his word that saves others. Okay? It's his word that saves. It's not my words. It's not Pastor Rob's words. It's not anybody else's. It's God's word that saves. Okay? It's his word that's going to change lives. It's his word that's going to open our eyes. Okay? Verse 7, so then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters. Okay? He's saying I'm nothing. And that's true, guys. I'm nothing. And I'm sure Pastor Rob considers himself as nothing. And I'm sure Pastor Jim the same way. I'm sure of that because of how God uses them. Okay? He says, but God who gives the increase. Okay? God gives the increase. God gives the knowledge. God gives wisdom. God opens our eyes. God heals. God saves. Okay? Now, verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Okay? Now he's saying that they will be rewarded for what they do for professing his word. Okay? Not man's opinion, his word. That's how we'll be rewarded. When not just who stands behind here, but all of us, every one of us, when we share God's truth with somebody else, we're doing what he wants, okay? And we will be rewarded for that. God's word says we will be, okay? His word, okay? For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Okay, that's important. Let each one take heed how he builds on it. Okay, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And that's who we build upon. Okay? When he said, I will build my church on this rock, he's talking about himself. Okay, remember last week? He's talking about himself. He built the church on him, on the foundation that he established. He is the foundation. Okay? Okay, verse 12 says, now, if anyone builds on his on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Okay? Pretty self-explanatory. It will be tested. I mean, we can't lie, and we're never going to be able to lie to God. In fact, His Word says that the day will come and say, "Lord, Lord, demons left in Your name. I preached Your Word, and many were saved." That's right, His Word, and it was His Word, and not our Word. Okay, the Bible is clear on this. Okay, we have to preach Him, not our own opinions, and not for. To make us to think we're better than others, or exclude people, or put rules and regulations and standards on people in order for them to be saved. That's not God. That's not His Word. Okay. Verse 14. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Okay, that's important, guys. Okay, if you guys want to underline that whole verse 15, it says, "If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved." What is he saying? He's not saying. Like, remember last week, I said I want to make clear that I'm not saying that people that are in religions are not saved. And here's the proof. He's not saying that they're not saved, okay? Because they believed in Jesus Christ. He's saying there's going to be a problem, and there's going to be they're not going to get what they thought they were going to get, but they are saved. You understand? Because the foundation still is Jesus Christ. You guys understand that? He's saying they will be. He himself will be saved, okay? Yet through fire, man, they're gonna go through the fire. In other words, but they're saved. That's why you're never going to hear me say that people from the religion I come from, or for Catholic religion, or any other Christian religions, that are not going to be saved. There's problems, and there's strife, and there's envies, and there's divisions. Okay, and there's problems, and you can't be happy. I was never happy in that. Okay, I never learned the truth of God's word, but that doesn't mean they're not saved. Okay, so that doesn't mean that we're better than them. That doesn't mean that at all. They haven't, the religion has kept them from the full truth of God's word. Okay, hasn't kept them from God. Has kept them from the blessing it is to see God's word clearly. Okay, in other words, we're getting a blessing seeing God's word clearly, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. That's the way that we're going to learn God's word. Okay, and they're kept from that. Okay, it doesn't mean they're not saved. It doesn't mean we're better than them. It does not mean that at all. Okay, I want to make that clear. Okay, and I'm not saying that they're that they're not going to be saved and that they're not Christian. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the religion has veiled them from the full truth and the full love of God's word. Okay. Okay, verse 16. Do you not know that that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay? For the wisdom, verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men. Okay, that's important, guys, because then that again comes, that comes to man's doctrine and man's religion. Okay, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. Okay? Okay. Again, this is a church. This is God's church struggling and hurting and divided. Okay? Why? Because they left God's word. Okay? That's the only reason. Not that they're not saved, but they're struggling and they're hurting because of they're leaving God's word. They left his teachings for the opinion for God for a man's opinion. Okay? And that's what's going on. They're leaving the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Okay? He's not a God he's not a God that's hard to understand. He's not somebody who makes things difficult for us to understand. He's a God of love. He wants us all to understand. He wants us all to come to him, and he wants us all to be free in his word. Okay? He wants that for every one of us. And I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm struggling and every time I feel like everything's going wrong, I also notice that I've not been completely faithful in his words and looking for him. And I go back to my old self trying to fix things my way, trying to do things my way. And every time that happens, I always know, not at the moment, but it takes me, being the bonehead that I am, it takes me a while to you know what, you're not listening to God, you're not doing things his way, you're trying to do things your way again, okay? And when I realize that, okay, I always stop and say, okay, God, this is yours, just help me through this. I'm gonna, whatever it is you're doing, I don't know what you're doing, I don't like it, but I don't know what you're doing, but I'm gonna stick with you. I'm staying with you. I'm gonna go back to properly doing my devotions and not doing one or two and running away real quick. Just doing them the way you want me to do them. I'm gonna focus on you. I'm gonna pray, and I'm gonna let you get me through this. I'm gonna stop trying to get through it myself. I'm gonna let you get me through this. And that's what's happening to this church, and that's what happens when we let religion and man's opinion and man's doctrine come into our lives, is we're stepping away from God's truth and God's love, okay? It's easy. It's not always what we like, but it is easy, okay? It is easy. It's not always what we like and not always what we want, but it's clear, okay? And that's all he wants from us. That's all, you know, he just wants us to keep coming back to him, because we always, and well, I don't know for the we, but I always kind of stumble a little bit and walk away and realize, hey, you're getting away from where you're supposed to be, okay? And he's always there with open arms to take us back and love on us some more and get us through the problems that we're having, okay? Again, not always the way we want them, but we get through them, okay? Okay, so if anybody, again, if this evening, there's somebody here that has not surrender to Jesus Christ, this is the best night to do it, okay? Just, I have brothers here that are willing to pray. I'm here willing to pray with you folks. So please, nobody leave. If somebody's here this evening that hasn't surrendered to Christ, or if somebody's walked away, come back. If somebody's hasn't surrendered, become part of the brethren. Become part of his church, okay? Thank you, guys, and a good evening, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful evening and your words, Father. I pray, Lord, that, again, that we may be doers of your word, and that this teaching, Lord, may have touched our lives in a very special way, Father, and that we may have learned that your way is better than always, and that your truth is better than a man's lies, and that you are always strength and you are always wisdom, Lord, and we are weak. And we are unwise. I pray, Lord, that we can always look to you first before looking to man. I pray all these things in Jesus' name.